this record to bring you a special bulletin.
Two real.
Two.
We switch now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Listening in on radio.
A slight atmospheric disturbance of undetermined origin is reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low-pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern states, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds and light gales.
Continental Radio News.
motion and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of Ramon Rockello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York.
There were no Gentes or Santa Marias for my people. They were brought here to be slaves to white people. Tortured, beaten, lynched, murdered. They helped build this country, build a White House even, and could not take part in this country's success. No voting, no education, no ability to accumulate wealth, no freedom. All the while, white people from all over the world came here for a better life, were allowed the opportunity to realize the American dream. And once slavery was abolished, hundreds of years later, it is no surprise that an organization like the Ku Klux Klan began to take root. They wanted to take their country back, or should I say, make sure it stayed the same way, with black people in chains, enslaved. And in case you haven't seen the images of them gathering in the dark of night carrying torches, here they are, but at least they wore hoods then. Racist, white supremacist cowards this weekend evidently feel they have no reason to hide, epitomized for some reason. The former Grand Wizard of the KKK is David Duke, and he says, yes.
We are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back, and that's what we got to do.
By the way, I know David Duke. David Duke hasn't been hiding behind a hood for a long time. He attended the same university I attended, Louisiana State University. He even ran for governor and for the Senate. So when back in February of last year, when my colleague Jake Tapper asked candidate Donald Trump about David Duke, his answer was perplexing. Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists.
Trump did, under duress, disavow Duke a few days later, but the not knowing Duke was a flat-out lie. How do I know? Because Trump considered a run for president in 2000 as a Reform Party candidate, and he said this.
What do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party. Buchanan's a disaster, as we've covered. Jesse's a terrific guy who just left the party, and he, you know, it's unfortunate, but he just left the party.
David Duke, a bigot, not the kind of guy you want in your party. He knew him in 2000. He didn't know him in 2016. So Saturday, in the midst of the violence, when Trump tweeted, "We all must be united and condemn all the hate stands, all that hate stands for. There is no place for this kind of violence in America. Let's come together as one." Well, David Duke responded with this tweet. "I would recommend you take a good look in the mirror and remember it was white Americans who put you in the presidency, not radical leftists." Still, the president had a chance to make it crystal clear whose side he was on, what he truly believes. And once in front of the cameras, the president refused to call out or call by name the racist, bigoted white supremacists at the heart of the Charlottesville story. And just like in March of 2016 or in February of 2016, when asked to disavow Duke and racist, it took him days to do it, and only when he was backed into a corner. I asked Donald Trump on more than one occasion whether he was racist. And I asked you last time, I said, and some people were shocked,
if you were racist. You knew why I was asking you that. Are you racist?
I am the least racist person that you have ever met. I am the least racist person.
Are you bigoted in any way?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Islamophobic?
I'm a person, no, not at all. I'm a person who happens to be very smart, and I happen to have a certain street sense, and I know where things are going.
So as I sit here with you, you've been very kind to me, right? You've introduced me to your family. You've been very kind to me. It has to, when people say that you're racist or homophobic or Islamophobic or whatever it is, that has to bother you. I compare you to Hitler. There are newspaper covers.
You know where things
does
bother
that bother
me?
You?
No, if things are true, if that were true, it would bother me tremendously.
We are American people.
What about you? You aren't American, are you?
I was born in Hungary, but now I am an American citizen. And I have seen what this kind of talk can do. I saw it in Berlin.
What were you doing there?
I was a professor at the university. I heard the same words we have heard today. But I was a fool then. I thought Nazis were crazy people, stupid fanatics. But unfortunately, it was not so. You see, they knew that they were not strong enough to conquer a unified country. So they split Germany into small groups. They used prejudice as a practical weapon to cripple the nation.
Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through the giant lens. I ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen, during any delay that may arise during our interview.
Of course, that was not easy to do. They had to work hard to do it. You see, we human beings are not born with prejudices. Always they are made for us.
Safety and the security of the Jews. So my question to Mr. Rosen is no. No,
Mr. Feldman,
no.
Mr. Feldman, please. There'll be plenty of time for comment from the floor, and we do have outside guests.
You know what this is? A tattoo. A number. Beer and Zwanzig, Beer Sex and Isaac. It's a concentration camp number. Do you know what that meant? Can you know what really happened? Can you know what the swastika was?
Looking at it live, you can see that there is a lot of object throwing. Apparently, according to one of our previous guests, Reverend Tracy Blackman, the white nationalist groups are throwing full bottles of water. Earlier, they used brass knuckles and... bats to attack members of the clergy, to... attack members of anti-fascist groups who've come out to march against them and against members of Black Lives Matter, all of whom have converged on this park and now spilled into the street, a nearby corner near the University of Virginia to try to counter this, what they're calling Unite the Right rally, a violent rally at that. Join
Somebody is going to get something out of it, and it isn't going to be you. This is not classroom theory. I saw it happen. I saw it first in Berlin in 1932. Five young men that I knew were standing in the crowd listening to the Nazi speaker. Eric was a Catholic. Anton, a student of mine, was a Jew.
These birds.
Heinrich owned a small hardware store. Karl was a farmer. And Hans was an unemployed metal worker.
In America, and we are going to have to reject this. We need to demand today that President Trump fire Sebastian Gorka, Steve Bannon, all the other alt-right neo-fascists in his White House. This is Breitbart News. What you are on the streets of Charlotte.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I am a Republican. I will remain a Republican, but I will not support fascism. I will call for the impeachment of this president if he does not fire the neo-fascists in his White House immediately.
And Aswin, is there any, discomfort inside of the White House with the presence of Sebastian Gorka, who is linked to Vitezi Rend, which is a Nazi-linked organization from Hungary, with the presence of Steve Bannon, who ran the website where the alt-right found its home? Is there any chance that these people have job insecurity at this point?
If they have any job insecurity, it has nothing to do with that or what's going on today. And
simply an idea. This is good, hard common sense. You see, here in America, it's not a question whether we tolerate minorities. America is minorities. And that means you and me.
Sebastian Gorka in the Bush White House, someone like Sebastian Gorka, who dared to wear a Nazi medal to the president's that is disgusting. We never would have tolerated that. And we can disagree. I disagree with my own party on some issues. But we never would have had any of this in the Bush White House. And these people need to be fired immediately. And this is Breitbart News. Breitbart News is a racist organization. And it needs to be acknowledged as such. They should not be given preferential access to the White House, which is what they are now getting under Steve Bannon.
President, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see?
And once again, Bannon needs to be fired. Sebastian Gorka and the rest of the fascists out, or we are going to have to remove this president. Our democracy depends upon it. And talking about President Bush or Hillary Clinton, And in trying to compare this, that is a completely inappropriate comparison to what really is a serious threat to our democracy in 2017.
Back to the same, give you a chance to respond as well. Is it sort of unfair to tie the president to what we're seeing here in Charlottesville?
Well, I don't think that President Trump is directly responsible for instigating, the events in Charlottesville, but I think
job insecurity has nothing to do with that, but with
something that Republicans going back to Ronald Reagan have always favored, and all of a sudden Trump is opposed to it. He wants to challenge affirmative action in court. So there is no question that he is pursuing policies that that elicit support from people like this. Even
okay? But of course, if you're a racist, you probably wouldn't care. But if things are true, it would bother me. But if it's so false, and honestly, I don't hear it often.
If you're a racist, you probably wouldn't care. He said the least racist. I'll let you decide. But one thing I do know, there were two tragedies this weekend. One in Charlottesville, the other at Bedminster in New Jersey. Now this, protesters outside Trump Tower here in New York City tonight. The president arriving at his apartment just about 1 hour ago. It is the first time he has been back in Trump Tower since his inauguration. I want to bring in now CNN political analyst April Ryan, White House correspondent for the American Urban Radio Network. Good evening to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Listen, I want to talk to you guys about what's going on. David, let's turn to the president's response in Charlottesville on Saturday. Here it is, and we'll discuss.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time. And
presidencies are built on moments, Don. You can remember in Bill Clinton's administration in Oklahoma City when the bombing occurred there. And Bill Clinton at that time, was his popularity had gone way down. He went to Oklahoma City. He was a healing force. The country rallied behind him and turned around his presidency. By contrast, George W. Bush didn't respond well to Katrina. He flew over. For reasons that had more to do with his trying not to get in the way, but it appeared that he was totally indifferent. It terribly wounded him. This is a moment that is wounding Donald Trump, despite his statement today, because for 48 hours he seemed basically indifferent.
In my family, there is nobody. A cousin in Tel Aviv, that is all. My mama, my papa, my brothers and sisters, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, nobody.
You want us to walk into the gas chambers again? Is that what you want? I am an old man, but I will fight. I don't care if I drop dead from my heart.
The police are going to let the Nazis march.
You see people carrying long guns. This is an open carry state, so this is an incredibly dangerous situation, incredible violence. It's shocking to me personally, just having been in Baltimore, that the police presence is so scant. When we were in Baltimore, there were tanks on the streets of Baltimore. We are seeing a rather thin police presence when we're seeing actual violence, and from reports that we've gotten on the ground, including violence against clergy people, against members of the clergy. I want to go to you on this, Kurt Bardella, because that is sort of the question, right?
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, President?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips. Although, that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited.
Racist voices, and channel them and direct them and focus them in one place. Day, that they could go multiple times a day.
In this America?
Please, look, we're all on the same side. The only question is, this is a matter of handling a very complex and sophisticated problem in a practical way. Believe me, we have had experience. The most effective way of handling this is to quarantine.
Telling you and Mayor Smith, you want to avoid violence? I'll tell you how. If you want no violence, keep the Nazis out.
And they're beginning to think with their own mind.
Because if they march here, if they bring the swastika here,
well, the scientific viewpoint strikes are merely the result of
nothing. There is nothing will keep me from fighting.
There, the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
Occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals.
Well, I cannot account for it.
Oh, by the way, sir, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Sir,
there's a meteor hurtling towards Earth. Less than a minute.
We all switched to Geico. Wait.
We're getting the latest coming in from Spain about the...
And we're going to have to reject this. We need to demand today that President Trump fire Sebastian Gorka, Steve Bannon, all the other alt-right neo-fascists in his White House. This is Breitbart News. What you're... on the streets of Charlottesville. And I, as a Republican, I will remain a Republican, but I will not support fascism.
And he made an argument that both sides are essentially equally responsible for the horrors and the violence we've seen in Charlottesville, which simply wasn't true, and the country knew that. And the country in moments like this judges a president by whether he chooses the right or the wrong, the moral right or the easy wrong. In this case, the president chose the easy wrong. He was indifferent to the kind of hatred that's coming out of the KKK and the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. And it took him 48 hours to recover from that. So today, his statement, which was much more what we wanted in originally, seemed forced. It seemed grudging, as if it wasn't something he really believed. What he really believed were the angry tweets he sent out in the morning and the evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let's...
Welcome to the show. This is Dr. Furious, Professor Furious, and we are rocking out here in WCOM LPFM Chapel Hill Carborough 103.5, where time seems to be flying by toward the apocalypse. And we're rocking out here. I'm Dr. Furious, like I said, DJ Eddie Abbey, Micropower Radio, and there's so much craziness going down right now. I think you probably get the gist, so we're just going to roll right into it. I can't tell folks that you want to go to www.furiousg.blogspot.com, then you might be able to find some old shows that basically have been screaming about this issue relating to Charlottesville and domestic terrorism and domestic Klansmen, and we've been talking about fascists here in WCOM land, as well as Micropower land on the Furious George Show for decades. So let's do it some more. We got some fun to have. Middle fingers out there to the fascists and of all stripes. So I'm here downtown Carrboro, where fascists in the past have tried to put up a fence and keep us all freaky people in. That seem to have only concentrated us where we have grown, and we've got brothers and sisters in Durham who are taking down Confederate statues. Not to mention long-standing tradition of standing up to crypto-fascist bogusness. Should mention, the show may be offensive. Not anything related to the clear justice we're talking about, but because I might accidentally slip in a curse word. What? We've also got some fun music. So we're going to rock out with that and keep having fun with, taking on the fascist in chief. And seriously, folks, this show is almost too predictable given what we've been talking about, not just in the last couple weeks or years or so, but decades. And this is how Furious has dealt with it, so we're going to keep doing that. Just rocking out, cranking out some place bass beats, putting up some defenses here where we stand locally. Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Durham, Hendersonville, Chatham, and friends all over the place. Listen, we also have some crazy wars of the worlds going. We also have some crazy fun background stuff from Low End Theory. And I should also just mention that we're going to try and spotlight how here in North Carolina, trying to tear down some more Confederate statues. So hopefully the kick butt awesome new governor Cooper, who kicked out McCrony, hopefully we can help Cooper take down some of these crypto fascist Confederate statues, including right here not too far from me, Silent Sam. Seriously, folks, if you can hear my voice, I'm not inspiring a riot. I'm just saying, there is a statue that we all know about, we need to address. Okay, go. Yeah, seriously, the show may be offensive to some dangling members, so listener discretion is advised. We're going to keep going back into some cool, crazy music, including, I got to also mention, we're going to throw in some fun stuff from Kendrick. So you'll recognize the song if you've been paying attention. If not, you're probably not outraged, so pay attention! I'm furious! We'll be right back.
I got realness. I just push cousins in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead with kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, an excellent mean an extrovert. An absentness, what the f*** you hurt? And passiveness, I've struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the pleading case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth from the prophet, say I got loyalty.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, America. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how I, this where you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the
fuck the fascists.
Footage living on the go and sleeping in the villa, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors, beaches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, God, father goes, only Lord knows, I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eating four daughters, Brock wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretching till the fan, I'm watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes, phone never on, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way.
Applied here that these racist Nazis would be banished from Charlottesville, and they were coming up the street, and then all of a sudden heard behind me the car, which we've all seen, just careening down an empty narrow street from almost 2 blocks away, just slow down slightly and then accelerate into the crowd, sending bodies flying everywhere and resulting, of course, in the tragic loss of Heather Heyer.
So after the car hit the crowd, and again, we have a shorter clip of that's a closer up than the other video. Again, very graphic. On her, Brennan.
Well, in the immediate aftermath, and even during while the car was still in the crowd, people started streaming towards the site of the attack. And then people started coming out from the scene. There were police on the scene nearly immediately, and EMT shortly thereafter. People were, you know, falling, bleeding, collapsing left and right. I gave first aid to a woman who collapsed right in front of me. And then, you know, realizing just how tense and violent the atmosphere in Charlottesville had become, I left the scene to go home.
Yeah. So before this all happened, how was the crowd behaving? What was this protest like, Brennan?
I only got to see the protest for a little bit as it came up the street, but they were, like I said, in somewhat of a celebratory mood. You know, they were, as far as I could tell, a collection of anti-racists who'd come here to counter-protest against this vile ideology that was on display in Charlottesville this weekend.
Yeah, I'd been out in this park for about 2 hours before that, and you saw groups of 30 to 40 of the white supremacists who would circle around and go through the crowd and provoke. I had relatives thrown to the ground, friends who were punched in the face. They were carrying water bottles that looked like they were throwing water on people, but in fact, it was laced with pepper spray and mace. So many of us, including myself, were hit multiple times with the pepper spray. This was in conjunction with a set of militia that were dressed to look like National Guard operatives with full AR-15s, open carry, earpieces in, doing military formations to make it look like they were, in fact, the state officials, whether that was their intent or not. All of that created a very intense scene that led to at least a dozen fistfights with punches thrown by the white supremacists, as well as carrying wooden swords and wooden shields for some reason I'm not quite sure about. But it was really 2 hours of escalation at that point before the police stepped in and called the state of the emergency.
Tom, the president has received a lot of criticism from people on both sides of the aisle for how he responded to this violence in Charlottesville. And you tweeted this today. You said, are we open to the possibility that the president is a white supremacist and authoritarian? Not that he failed to get the statement right. And that's a very strong statement. Do you really believe the president could be a white supremacist?
Well, you know, it's Occam's razor. At some point, you have to look at this pattern of behavior and say, why is it that he would be so hesitant? Certainly, it could be hubris, it could be arrogance, but it certainly seems to be one area where he's not willing to push back. And he essentially got pushed around by David Duke this weekend. He put out a more neutral tweet. David Duke said, no, 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 you're not going to sell out your white tribalist base. And Trump backed off and then gave the statement that he did. He still has not issued, in my mind, a real statement. He has issued words. But a statement would be to fire Steve Bannon, Gorka, and Miller and say, I am so incensed about this rise of white supremacists and Nazis who claim to be my allies that I am going to send a signal. That would be a real statement. That would be moral leadership. And I believe it's incumbent on moral leaders like Mike Pence to say, hey, it's their jobs or mine on the line here. This is an absolute moment in our country that calls for that kind of moral leadership. That would be what a statement looks like.
Tom Perriello, Brennan Gilmore, thank you.
Be patient.
When we come back, strong criticism coming from all sides toward the president. We're going to take a look at the long-term impact that could plague his presidency because of his long delay in addressing the racism and violence in Charlottesville.
Trump fit morally, ethically, in terms of competence to be the president of the United States, and there are a lot of negative reports on that. The more people I talk to, senior Republicans, high intelligence officials in the military who deal with the White House and with Donald Trump, they have lost confidence in the fitness of Donald Trump to be the president of all the American people. It's a new kind of debate that we're watching going on. It's a crisis in the presidency such as we've never seen. And what happened this weekend is a kind of demarcation line that we're going to remember for a long time because the rules have now changed. Donald Trump is not just about his base. He's the president of his base, but there's very little proof now that he is president of all the American people and that he can bring them together.
I'm still recovering, personally. I'm still recovering from President Trump's kamikaze press conference yesterday where Donald let Donald be Donald. Consequences and our country be damned. And it was truly one for the ages, specifically 1939 to 1945. Let me just, I have those years, right? 36. Let's just remind ourselves of how we got to wherever we are right now. Last Saturday, which I think was a year ago, something like that, Nazis and the KKK provoked violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. That's what they wanted. That's why they went there. After a Nazi killed a young woman named Heather Heyer, Donald Trump made a statement and improvised during the statement that there was violence on many sides. And people were upset, other than Nazis. Nazis liked it. So Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, pressed Trump to make another public statement. Grudgingly, Mr. Trump agreed. Okay, I'll say Nazis are bad, but you can't make me mean it, okay? I call. Fingers crossed, okay? I call Nazi-baxies. So, oh. On Monday, Donald Trump went to the mic in the White House and read this.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
There you go. Maybe not inspiring or heartfelt, but the right thing to say. And you know it was the right thing to say because he hated saying it. Evidently, Donald Trump fumed to aides about how unfairly he was being treated and expressed sympathy with nonviolent protesters who he said were defending their heritage. So, yesterday afternoon, when he was supposed to be talking about highway infrastructure, Donald Trump drove America's moral leadership right through the guardrails by saying some of the people bearing torches with the Nazis were just good Joes.
Not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch. I don't know if you know, they had a permit. The other group didn't have a permit. I think there's blame on both sides. I think there's blame on both sides. And I have no doubt about it. And you don't have any doubt about it either.
Oh, Mr. President, there is only one thing I no longer have any doubt about. You showed us who you were. Everywhere. Everywhere in this country. Everywhere in this country, people were horrified. North, South, Republican, Democrat, top, bottom, sweet, sour. But you know who loved what Donald Trump said? Donald Trump. He'd say Trump was in a very good mood after the press conference and felt liberated. Liberated, free, emancipated, if you will.
Some of which have turned violent, and they're upsetting and disturbing whenever they happen. But look, just to be mildly fair to the White House and President Trump for a moment, I think it's a little bit unfair to blame President Trump for stuff like this. We are going to have to remove this president.
If he can continue in a way,
President Bush or Hillary Clinton, and try to compare this, that is a completely inappropriate comparison to what really is a serious threat to our democracy in 2017.
And Max, give you a chance to respond as well. Is it sort of unfair to tie the president to what we're seeing here in Charlottesville?
Well, I don't think that President Trump is directly responsible for instigating, you know, the events in Charlottesville, but I think it is fair to say that he has catered to the alt-right crowd, including by hiring some of their champions in the White House, by pursuing policies like not only the crackdown on illegal immigration and mass deportations, but also he wants a crackdown on legal immigration, which is something that Republicans going back to Ronald Reagan have always favored, and all of a sudden Trump is opposed to it.
I'm free at last. You like that? Melania wrote that. She's very good. Now, she did. Now, Trump may have been happy with his performance, but not everyone inside the White House felt the same. In fact, members of the president's staff were stunned and disheartened and said they never expected to hear opinions that the president had long expressed in private. Please, Grandpa, you can't say this stuff out loud in the restaurants, okay? That's fishing boat talk, okay? Out of sight of land, you can speak your mind. I'm sure your nurse took your watch, even though it's on your wrist right now. In the wake of the furor Trump caused by channeling the furor, the White House was desperate to get Republicans on board the flaming wreckage that was the SS Hindenburg. By releasing talking points to Congress such as, Leaders in the media in our country should join the president in trying to unite and heal our country rather than incite more division. What? No, you can't put that on somebody else. That's the president's job. The pilot can't get on the intercom and say,
attention passengers, this is your captain speaking. Now is the time for people in first class and coach to come together in the cockpit and show me what all these little buttons do. Okay?
To continue as president in an effective way because of how people are
to the whole point, quite frankly, in regards to whether police were intimidated by this group or not, I would tend to say no, they were not. What I would more tend to say is that was the question I was at would ask, was preparation made for this type of crowd? There was clear evidence, Don, that they were going to have problems with this crowd, and should better precaution could have been taken. Here again, I don't want to second guess this chief. I know what it's like.
Of this has to continue.
I was just—you can imagine where people, you know, where Jews would not want to go into places that bore their oppressor's name, but yet you have to go into schools named Robert E. Lee High School. There are Confederate flags still hanging in parts of the country. Why would anyone feel safe with the oppressor's flag hanging over them or in a building that they have to sit in, Michael Higginbotham?
Well, I tell you, we these are tough issues. You know, we have a long history of freedom of speech, First Amendment rights, and we have to be very careful. The Supreme Court has decided some of these issues. We tend to err on the side of speech, and so it has to create a clear and present danger. I mean, that's the famous Oliver Wendell Holmes decision, clear and present danger to current law on freedom of speech. And so I think we need to make sure we have the proper balance. The flag certainly is a symbol, the Confederate battle flag certainly a symbol of hatred, a symbol that creates fear in many Americans. And I think, you know, its place is in a museum.
Back of it, and the police are trying to rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through.
WCOM LPFM, Chapel Carboro. We're cranking out here Thursday night, deep into the late night, fighting our fight against the fascists, crypto fascists, KKK, Reich supremacists. All you other folks who somehow didn't get taken care of when you were little or something or fell on your head, sorry for you, but we're going to fight here in WCOM land against all kinds of Nazis and otherwise, as we've been doing here on the Furious George Show, which is what we are in the midst of and have been doing for almost two decades. So, if you don't believe me, go to furiousg.blogspot.com and you can see a whole catalog of all the crypto fascist America stuff that we've been dealing with. And I should warn you, listener discretion is highly advised. Oh, man. What else do we do here at WCOM land? Go to WCOMFM.org and you can keep us doing what we happen to be doing, which includes rocking out here literally live on downtown Carboro land, all throughout the Carboro, Chapel Hill, Chatham County area.
Turned into a shit bonfire, and then driven by the winds of his monumental ignorance, he turned into a raging shit firestorm.
Oh, man. So the show is offensive. I'm allowed to play songs that include offensive words.
And then I can unleash
but I'm not allowed to say them. So, if you want to help out, give us a call here. 246-9639. 246-9639. And you can help out or do whatever you got to do, which hopefully includes maybe marching right now toward the nearest Confederate crypto-fascist monument around you. And non-violently, without rioting, address that monument. Hey, I just gave the phone number out and ways to contact us if you have a problem with what I'm saying. So, oh, we got a caller. Nah, I'm just kidding. You know, no. Confederate fools are going to call up here on the Furious George Show. I dare you. I will put you on. No, they're going to call NPR and going to pretend to be somebody they're not. Where are we? Stay on the rails. 103.5 FM. WCOM. LPFM. Chapa Cabra. Furious!
Cars, headlights, throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the object has buried. Now, some of the more daring souls now are venturing near the edge.
I just also want to say, just in case this is the apocalypse coming up here, Monday, 2 o'clock, there is the eclipse. Yours truly, Furious G, is going into the mountains where apparently we're going to be completely immersed. So who knows? If this is the last Furious George show, I just want to say it's been awesome. Let it ring throughout the universe forever. I'm furious!
One man wants to touch things, having an argument with a policeman. Now the policeman wins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I haven't mentioned in all this excitement, but it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Take the razors. Do you hear it? The curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object.
It's a money.
That should be better to educate folks as well.
To know that he thought he was weak, he said that he was weak. In this case, you see that the president isn't being as pointed, so I think that's why it's so remarkable that he's not being pointed in this time.
And you know, Donnie, if you look and you read through some of the white nationalist websites and the media and the propaganda that they put out, they were very pleased with what Donald Trump did on Saturday. They said, look, he didn't condemn us specifically. We understand why he had to go out and say something. But they viewed this as a victory for them.
Yeah. What a pathetic, sniveling little man our president is, a coward. You know, it's very easy to use the terms Nazis and Ku Klux Klan. Let's step back for a second as far as what these people are marching for, what they stand for. The Ku Klux Klan, for decades and decades, and they're built on lynching African Americans. The Nazis are built on the followers of Adolf Hitler, of exterminating Jews. 6 million. No, we don't think Jews should exist on this planet. We're going to exterminate. That's what World War II is about. Mr. Disgusting and repulsive. And when you watched him speak, when you could see, you know, we've seen him speak passionately. When the first part of it, he was almost reading that text, almost like he didn't want to. And then when he got animated, was when he got to the many sides part. The many sides, you know. Joe has asked me many times on this show, you know, Donnie, you and I have known Trump for years. He says racist things, but he's not really a racist. No, he is a racist. He is a racist. Can we just say it once and for all? When we look at his history, when we look at the housing issues, when we look where he's talked about reverse discrimination against whites, the birther movement, we have a racist as a president. Because a man that cannot stand up and condemn the Ku Klux Klan and Nazism is a racist.
And Frank, it didn't take long for many other Republicans, many of the people he ran against for president, to jump out and do something that's pretty easy.
Out of nowhere a week ago, to create disunity in a country, whether Charlottesville woke him up. Did he have an epiphany? And I doubt it, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Michael, in his first statement, he talked about a need to cherish our history. Here it is right here.
We must love each other, respect each other, and cherish our history and our future together. So important. We have to respect each other. Ideally, we have to love each other.
Some people said that was a dog whistle to the white supremacists. I mean, given that one of the goals of the Unite the Right rally was to protest the removal of a Confederate monument, do you think it was?
I think the protest, the protest that was going on was to remove this monument. That's why the white supremacists were there.
Alt-right pro-Trump media figure who indulges in conspiracy theories. One is about Seth Rich, which has been debunked as a conspiracy theory. The other is Pizzagate, we know what that is. That's what he's doing tonight, retweeting stuff like that. That's your president, everybody. There you go.
Well, that's a problem.
Is cutting eye holes out of his bed sheets. You know, as you know, this weekend in Virginia, the worst people in the United States went to the hardware store, bought tiki torches, lit them up, and marched in Charlottesville. A nonviolent protester was killed by a white supremacist. And so the president, who is the president, by the way, went on television to say this.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred.
Started strong and he had to throw in on many sides. Well, let's not lay all the blame on the Nazis and the Klan. There were people who marched against them, you know. And then for 2 days he had no further comment. The one thing he decides to be quiet about is this. And of course everybody went nuts because there weren't many sides. The protesters were shouting Nazi slogans. They were carrying Nazi flags. One of them killed a young woman and injured dozens of other people with his car. There were two sides, not many sides, and one of those sides had Nazis on it. All he had to do is condemn the Nazis. It shouldn't have been a difficult thing.
and start speaking honestly. If you vote for a man
what should happen
who says what he said today,
Benjamin Franklin's words, that has rendered himself
nauseous for these victims, that he equated George Washington and Thomas Jefferson with Robert E. Lee, and said that the people that are trying to stop the racism, the anti-racism protesters, that they were the violent ones. They were the, you know, that just went so far. But I'm telling
you, that's a very powerful and uncomfortable anecdote that you share, and people will think that you're comparing Trump voters to racists.
Most countries didn't have elected leaders or ways to get rid of them, so Franklin and the framers turned to a provision of British common law known as impeachment. Trial, conviction, punishment.
In Great Britain, impeachment could be brought against anybody, any citizen, and it also could result in any punishment, including death.
Michael Gerhardt is a constitutional law professor who literally wrote the book on impeachment.
And so they put impeachment into the Constitution and then set up a whole series of unique American features in it.
The Constitution lays out three offenses for which any federal official, including the president, can be impeached. The first two, treason and bribery, are pretty straightforward. Treason means helping enemies of the United States, and bribery is taking money or gifts in exchange for a political favor.
And the last very high crimes and misdemeanors is hard to define. Obviously, it's not defined in the Constitution, but these were thought to be serious offenses against the Republic and serious breaches of trust.
For three U.S. presidents, Andrew Johnson, Richard Nixon, and Bill Clinton, the question of whether to impeach and remove them from office centered around whether their behavior fit into this third category of high crimes and misdemeanors. The impeachment process has to start in the House of Representatives. Any member can introduce an impeachment resolution.
A resolution, articles of impeachment, President of the United States. Resolved that president be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors.
It's not exactly a controversial stance. It's not like we asked them to come out against puppies or something. They're Nazis and Klan members and people who put pineapple on pizza. They're terrible people. And it isn't as though he doesn't like to speak out. You know, when Donald Trump is upset, when there's something serious happening, he doesn't keep it bottled up. He lets us know.
Now they're making Ghostbusters with only women. What's going on?
Good question. What is going on? So the reaction to this was enormous. It was all around the world. Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, called this rally evil and disgusting. And you understand what that means. That means Germany is taking a stronger stance against Nazis than we are. And they invented it. So
North Carolina, where a crowd of activists toppled a Confederate statue in that city on Monday, just 2 days after the deadly white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Of activists shouted, "We are the revolution," as a college student named Takia Thompson climbed up a ladder, looped a rope around the top of the Confederate soldiers' monument in front of the old Durham County Courthouse, and then pulled the statue to the ground as the crowd erupted in cheers.
Thank you.
Tuesday, Takiya Thompson was arrested on two charges of felony inciting a riot and three misdemeanor charges, injury to personal property, injury to real property, and defacing a statue. She spoke in Durham just before she was arrested.
I think what we did was the best way. And not just the best way, but the only way, because the state and the Klan and white supremacists have been collaborating, right? So what we did, not only was it right, it was just. I did the right thing. Everyone who was there, the people did the right thing. And the people will continue to keep making the right choices until every Confederate statue is gone, until white supremacy is gone. That statue is where it belongs, right? It needs to be in the garbage, incinerated. Like every statue, every Confederate statue and every vestige of white supremacy, it has to go.
Shortly after she spoke, she was arrested, given a $10,000 unsecured bond. She was released last night, heads to court this morning. But just before she does, she joins us here on Democracy Now! Takiya Thompson is a student at North Carolina Central University and a member of Workers' World Party Durham branch. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Takiya. I know you're under enormous pressure as you head to court for after being arrested for climbing a ladder, looping a rope around the top of the Confederate Soldiers Monument, and pulling down the statue. Talk about why you engaged in this and exactly what you did.
Okay, I participated in a march and a rally. And I decided to climb to the top of the Confederate soldier's statue and put the rope around his neck and throw the rope down to the crowd. And the crowd could decide if they wanted to pull it down or not. And I did this because the statue is a symbol of nationalism, and it's a symbol of white nationalism. And the type of white nationalism I'm talking about is the type of white nationalism that is sending me death threats on Facebook. I'm talking about the type of white nationalist that, you know, has killed a woman in a protest. We're talking about the type of white nationalism that would drive a car at high speeds into a crowd of women and children. And I think vestiges of that, and I think anything that emboldens those people and anything that gives those people pride needs to be crushed in the same way that they want to crush black people. And the other groups that they target.
Could you talk about how the events in Charlottesville influenced you or affected you, especially obviously the stunning symbols of those marches with torches on Friday night through the campus of the University of Virginia?
Well, when I look at Charlottesville, I look at Durham, North Carolina. I look at Richmond, Virginia. I look at Atlanta, I look at Georgia, I look at Stone Mountain, I look at the entirety of America and American history, and I know that Charlottesville is Durham, North Carolina. Charlottesville is America. The sentiment that was expressed in Charlottesville is part and parcel of what built this country, and I know that Charlottesville can erupt anywhere.
Can you talk about what happened when you were arrested, Takiya? Where did they take you? You now had to post cover $10,000 bond.
Right. Being arrested was in and out. I think the powers that be knew that if I wasn't released in a timely manner, that politically that would not be a good move for them. So I was in and out very quickly. As soon as I got there, people inside were recognizing me. So I know that they knew that with the climate and the situation in this city that they had to release me.
You're charged with felony inciting a riot, three misdemeanor charges, injury to personal property, injury to real property, and defacing a statue. Your answer to those charges?
The Sheriff Andrews and the establishment want to make a political prisoner of me, and they want to make an example of me, and they want to scare people, and they want to scare black people, and they want to scare people of color, and they want to scare people who are reclaiming their agency, and they can't, as we have seen. I haven't been keeping up with headlines, but listening to the headlines from today, you can't keep your foot on people's neck forever. Your foot on people's neck forever.